This GX on Agriculture podcast is brought to you by Haas Nissan in Yorkton.
To the people tending the land and animals that feed us and support our community, we at Haas Nissan want to say thank you on behalf of all those who depend on you, the farmer. Like you, we are a family business with family values you can depend on. Haas Nissan, where a handshake still means something.
GX on Agriculture with Doug Falconer.
Good afternoon and welcome to GX in Agriculture. Doug Falconer sitting in for Rod McDonald today. Coming up on today's program, we'll speak with one of the horse trainers who's going to be at the Saskatchewan Equine Expo in Saskatoon this weekend, and he actually has a connection to the Parkland region. We'll hear about that as well. The Canadian Western Agribition Next Gen Agriculture Program began Tuesday with the selection of 8 mentees to be registered in the program. We'll speak with one of them. Also, the Steaks and Stems Producer Appreciation Night will be held in Yorkton next week. Today's deadline day, so we'll have some more details on that as well. All that and more coming up on today's edition of GX on Agriculture. But first, it's time for the Agriculture Outlook with Precision Weather, and that's a presentation of Yorkton, Raymore, and Watrous, New Holland, as well as Sean Prahitka, your REMAX Blue Chip Ag Division Specialist.
Agriculture Outlook with Precision Weather.
With Phil Spivak from Precision Weather. And Phil, sunny and bright here in the Parkland region. The temperature's a little warmer than we've seen over the last few days.
Yeah, and the wind has been pretty light so far. Even through the afternoon, it's going to stay fairly light, averaging 10 kilometers per hour or less most of the time. 7 to 14 at peak this afternoon, but still a pretty light wind. Climbing up to minus 18 for the afternoon. Still well below average. That's about 10 degrees below average. But without the wind, that means the wind chill is less of a factor. For tonight, just a little cloud cover, down to minus 26. The wind will start to pick up, but a very gradual increase. By morning tomorrow, southeast 10 to 20. And then during the day tomorrow, the cloud cover thickens up. There's going to be a weather system that's tracking to our southwest. It's going to get a little bit closer through the day. It's going to spread some light snow and flurries across especially southwestern parts of Saskatchewan. And then it gets sort of squelched down by high pressure to the north. It's going to get close. I think some of us will get into some of that light snow, but many of us are not going to. Areas east into western Manitoba, very little snowfall. Areas north of Yorkton, very little, if any, snowfall. Where it does set up, it's still pretty light. Even that northern fringe that gets close to us is not the core of the heavier snowfall. We're looking at a centimeter or two where the snow sets up. And again, primarily flurries around Yorkton and then that light accumulation for areas south, and we'll say west as well. Minus 15, though, is the high tomorrow. Wind around this storm system off to our south is from the east at 10 to 20. The wind will turn around into the northeast and north for Saturday night and Sunday as that system passes by. The cloud cover is going to be stubborn, but just like Saturday, most of the precipitation does stay south of us. In fact, it pushes a little farther south for Saturday night. Minus 24 is the low, minus 18 on Sunday. The trade-off for keeping that storm system down is that the high continues to be in force from the north, and it's just a cold air mass. Partly sunny sky on Monday, minus 19. Then we'll take a little bit more of a jump on Tuesday. I'm kind of zoomed out. I can't see the number that I typed in here, but it's a little bit higher. I remember that. Minus 13 with a mixture of sun and clouds on Tuesday.
That's Phil Spivak from Precision Weather. Temperatures around the region this hour, the Paw is at minus 17, Swan River minus 23, Dauphin minus 21, Brandon minus 26, Shoal Lake Russell and Roblin minus 25. Regina is at minus 28, Saskatoon minus 30, Hudson Bay minus 22, Broadview-Mooseman minus 27, Indian Head, minus 26. Wynyard, Wadena, Kelvington also reporting in at minus 26 this hour. The Yorkton-Melville region has a sunny sky, an east wind at 5 kilometers an hour. 75% is the relative humidity. The temperature is minus 26 degrees. With the wind chill, it feels more like minus 31 degrees. Yesterday, Yorkton reached a high of minus 17 degrees and dropped to a low of minus 27 degrees. There was no precipitation recorded in the 24-hour period ending at midnight last night. The normal high for this date is minus 8, the normal low minus 19. The sun rose in Yorkton at 8:04 this morning, and it will set at 6:04 tonight. Extreme temperatures for Manitoba and Saskatchewan yesterday. The Manitoba hotspot was Sprague at minus 8 degrees. The cold spot to Dooley Lake at minus 34. The Saskatchewan hotspot was Waskasoo Lake at minus 12. The cold spot Spiritwood at minus 38. And that's a look at your agriculture weather. And welcome back to GX and Agriculture. Doug Falconer sitting in for Rod McDonald today. And Jonathan Field from British Columbia is one of the feature trainers at the Saskatchewan Equine Expo. It's on today through Sunday at Saskatoon's Prairieland Park. He says his parents actually grew up in the Parkland region.
Actually, my family was originally from Saskatchewan-Manitoba border. Both my parents were down by Langenberg and the Roblin area. So that was where they were originally from. So we go back for holidays and family functions now and then. But certainly the Horse Expo and other clinics that I do throughout the year in Saskatoon have been just a really... I look forward to getting out there every time I come.
I understand you've been on television a number of times.
They did a documentary. It was called A Portrait, and it was featured on CBS television in the States and all around the world. And it was just a kind of a portrait of different people's lives. They did an Egyptian sumo wrestler. They did this scientist that does all these crazy engineering things. And one of the people that they picked was my life with horses, and kind of the direction and the way that I approach the horse, and most importantly, kind of how I help other people and, you know, teach them. So they followed me around to the ranch, and they followed me on the road and to different events and met my horses. And it was quite a documentary. It was really, really exciting to do.
How do you communicate with horses?
You know, there could be a little bit of verbal, but verbal would be like, say, icing on the cake if the cake were the main part. The main part is the body language. So verbal is only a small part. So the main part is the body language. And how horses communicate through the intent or their intention or their body language is how they're silent, they're prey animals. So they develop the most of their language covertly, to be quiet, to remain quiet. So they establish inside the herd quite an amazing language and has quite a clear hierarchy of leadership in the herd, and then they sort out. They have to get together, safety in numbers. That's why they become herd bound. So those are the things that we have to kind of understand about the horse before we go, you know, start to play with them, start to ride them, and, you know, start to do different things.
Does it take you very long to assess a horse's personality?
Well, the great thing about horses is they wear everything on their, you know, in their motion, on their sleeve, if you will. They show it through their body language. So lots of times you can see with a horse in just a second, just a glance, you know, just based on their body language, how high their head is. You know, if their head is above the withers and the adrenaline is in their system, you know they're in the flight or fight mode. If the head is below the withers, it's just a simple kind of a sign of relaxation. If their eyes are soft, if their ears are really alert or their ears are soft and hanging down a little bit. I mean, these are just the very most basic body language things that you would look at. You looked at a horse and you looked at the back legs, and if the back legs were standing narrow together, you know the horse is going to stand there for a while. If the back legs are wide and we're mounted on this horse and the back legs are wide like a tennis player on the other end of a tennis court, you know, ready to take a serve, the horse might be getting ready to do something. So these postures are the kind of the most introductory signs of body language that you might just take a quick glance at.
So what happens when you see some new horses in the show arena in Saskatoon?
Well, this is the fun part about the expo this year. So when I step in here, these two horses I've had no contact with before, and I've said I want one of the horses to be a little more challenging, young, and how you start a horse and get going with the relationship. Think about it in the audience. You know, there's 1,000 people there, and they're all coming at this thing from a different angle. They're all trying to learn something different. And my job is really, really to try to help relate to them so they can go home and help their horse. So one of the horses is quite young. It's a thoroughbred young colt that has got some behavioral issues, you know, just kind of more young horse kind of stuff. So where do we start with that? And the other horse is a riding horse. It's actually a successful jumping horse, but has some quirks, I've been told. So I haven't met the horses. That's kind of the fun part. You know, I make all my plans, I get all ready, and then you go, okay, now it's the horses that are really going to help me teach this clinic as I help them through this to try to help the audience.
Now, you do one session each day in the arena. How will that work?
Between the two horses, each day is going to be progressive. In the first session, I'm going to put probably 80% with the young horse, and then by the last session on Sunday, I'll do 80% with the riding horse. The young guy probably, you know, coming in from the cold, it'll probably get, I don't want to get him overheated or, you know, do too much over the course of 3 days. So it'll be more on the first session than it will be the last for him, and then the riding horse, it'll kind of flip. So really trying to get all the angles and all the possible lessons we can kind of jammed into those three sessions throughout the weekend.
Now, if a person is watching you from the audience, what would you want them to learn from you?
Well, the number one thing is to be safer. You know, when you're safe, you can have more fun. So the first thing is, how are you safer when you're on the ground handling a horse, preparing a horse to ride? And then how do you go through things when you ride to be a safer rider? After you overcome some of the safety things, with regard to the instincts of a horse, you know, I talk a lot about the instincts in the prey animal. So it's understanding the prey animal in the horse and, frankly, the predator or the human in the human. So we have to understand some of these things. So that helps us be safer. And then how do we become a leader for that horse? So the horse looks to us, becomes herd bound or more comfortable with us than they are with the barn or the herd. Then you can have a lot of fun with the horse. And that goes into any discipline. So what I teach is not denominational to English or Western. It's the foundation, and it's really teaching the psychology of the animal and also learning a lot about how we react to things and the things that work well and the things that don't work.
You're also going to be inside an information theater. Will you be covering different subjects than what you cover in the show ring?
Yeah, I will. In the information theater, I really like these sessions. There's one each day as well. They're really intimate. There's just a small group. There's lots of great time to reflect on what we did in the clinic, but also to have that discussion around different topics. We're going to talk about saddles, questions and answers about bits and different styles of bits and how to understand. I mean, you can go into a tack store and see all the bits on the wall and try to figure out how do I decipher my way through what's going to work best for my horse. And then another one that I'm really passionate about is liberty training, you know, playing with horses without anything on them. And we're going to do a session on that as well.
You're in Saskatoon for Equine Expo in February, but you're back, I guess, in May as well.
The May one is fun because it's really the in-depth, it's the how-to, even at another level. People bring their horses, there's 12 riders come into the arena, we spend 3 days of immersion, basically. Spectators come, they bring their notepads, we do questions, we do answers. You know, we really take time to, you know, kind of get to know each person and their horse. So we do 3 days with one group and 3 days with another group. So there's 6 days in May, lots of horsemanship happening in Prairieland Park in May.
And for anyone heading to Equine Expo in Saskatoon this long weekend, you'll make yourself available to chat with them?
Absolutely. We have a booth there. You know, they can come visit. I hang out there and answer, you know, very specific questions that somebody might have that they don't want to answer in a group or, you know, just hang out. And lots of times we get looking at pictures on the phone and, you know, seeing what people are up to with their horse.
And you need to be ready for the weather here in Saskatchewan.
That's right. There's that one trip across that I take a few deep breaths and I head over there. But it doesn't seem to stop anybody. You know, every year I've gone, the parking lot is nearly full, and people are excited to have this expo. It's really well run. I'm always honored to come, and I'm really grateful for everybody who makes the trip out.
Jonathan Field is a horse trainer from BC who has roots in Langenberg and Roblin. He's one of the experts with presentations and demonstrations at the Saskatchewan Equine Expo. It runs today through Sunday at Saskatoon Prairieland Park. It's now 12:35 on GX on Agriculture, and it's time for the AgriView portion of our program. That's a presentation of Peebles Machine and Welding in Yorkton.
GX 94, AgriView.
Saskatchewan's legal challenge of the federal carbon tax plan is now in the hands of the province's Court of Appeal. A panel of judges has reserved its decision on whether the tax is constitutional or not after hearing arguments in Regina. Saskatchewan contends that Ottawa's plan to impose the tax infringes on provincial jurisdiction, while lawyers for the federal government have argued a carbon tax is in the national interest because of climate change. Saskatchewan, New Brunswick, Ontario, and Manitoba do not have their own carbon pricing plan and will be subject to Ottawa's fuel tax starting in April. A lawyer in the case suggests the appeal court could take 6 months to a year to make its ruling. The Federal Food Safety Watchdog is warning people to do what they can to keep African swine fever out of Canada. The Canadian Food Inspection Agency says the disease is highly contagious and can be lethal to domestic and wild pigs. There is no treatment or vaccine for the disease. The agency says an outbreak in Canada would have a significant economic impact on the country and the Canadian pork industry. The CFIA says people such as farm workers, foreign exchange students, or hunters who travel to countries infected with African swine fever could bring back contaminated food, clothing, and equipment. Wagyu beef is considered by chefs around the world to be some of the tastiest, most tender beef money can buy. Now a Saskatchewan farmer has found his own way to create a taste of Wagyu on the prairies from cattle that he calls snow beef. Ian Crosby, who runs a dairy and cattle farm west of Karenport, says he started crossbreeding his Holstein dairy cows with Wagyu from Japan through artificial insemination. He says when snow beef cattle are born, they're raised alongside his larger general herd until they're about a year and a half old. Then they're separated and put on a tightly controlled diet developed by Crosby and a Wagyu feeding specialist from the United States. Once the snow beef cattle are in the final stage of feeding, they eat whole oats. Farmers in BC's Okanagan are worried about the impact a pending minimum wage hike in the province is going to have on their bottom line. BC Fruit Growers Association President Pinder Dhaliwal says the minimum wage has been going up in the last few years, and at the same time, the price and the return that farmers got for the 2017 crop was at an all-time low, and the 2018 crop is not much better. The minimum wage will rise to $13.85 later this year, to $14.60 in 2020, and to $15.20 in 2021. Dhaliwal also says that farmers rely on temporary foreign workers from locations including the Caribbean and Mexico, and last year many farmers struggled to get enough workers into Canada because of red tape. A new program in eastern Ontario is offering free mental health counseling to local farmers. The program is run by Deborah Van Berkel, who's worked in both agriculture and mental health services for years. She got the idea when her husband returned from a meeting of dairy producers and told her about a farmer in western Ontario who was experiencing suicidal thoughts. Van Berkel says she modeled the program after a similar one in Prince Edward Island. And one of Canada's largest cannabis producers is reporting third quarter revenue of $97.7 million, up from $21.7 million a year ago. Ontario-based Canopy Growth recorded a loss from operations for the quarter, but it turned a net profit due to gains on the fair value of its assets and liabilities. And that's a look at the AgriView portion of our program.
Livestock market conditions.
U.S. live cattle futures for April closed at 127.22, down 15. June live cattle trading at 118.10, down 17. March feeder cattle trading at 142.92, down 115. April feeder cattle trading at 145.45, down 105. April lean hogs trading at 59.77, that's up 107. May lean hogs trading at 68.45, up 75. And that's the livestock market conditions.
To the people tending the land and animals that feed us and support our community, we at Haas Nissan want to say thank you on behalf of all those who depend on you, the farmer. Like you, we are a family business with family values you can depend on. Haas Nissan, where a handshake still means something.
And we're back on GX and Agriculture. It's now 12:46. The Canadian Western Agribition NextGen Agriculture Program began Tuesday with the selection of 8 mentees to be registered in the program. The mentorship program aims to grow the graduates' understanding of the agriculture sector in business, community, leadership, and advocacy. One of the 8 mentees selected is Chelsea Christensen of Bethune. She's currently attending school at Lakeland College in Vermilion, Alberta.
I thought it was kind of a needle in a haystack type deal. I figured I may as well apply because I thought it was a super cool opportunity. And when I got the phone call that I was selected, I was shocked. I was kind of speechless as to what to say and just very thankful and excited for the opportunity that I was presented with.
Can you walk me through the application process?
It was actually just an online application, basically talking about where I fit in the agriculture industry and how I'd like to grow and my experiences and whatnot. And I was under the understanding that there was going to be an interview, but once the interview phase had actually passed, I had thought that I wasn't selected because I wasn't selected for the interview phase. And I got the call a couple of days later saying that I had made it. So it's actually not too many steps, I guess.
So what are you hoping to learn from this mentorship?
I think it'll be really cool just to get some industry contacts and kind of see what it's like a day in the life in agriculture, as I never grew up on a farm or really in the industry. I've only been quite new to the industry. So I think that I'm just hoping to see what it actually takes to be in the industry and where I can grow and where I can go.
And from here, what types of opportunities will be waiting for you through this program?
I think that the opportunities after this program will just be endless. Like, I think there's going to be a lot of different branches, different connections, and I truly think that in the ag industry that it's really who you know and connections help you get to where you need to be, and I think that this mentorship and working alongside someone will help me gain those connections, and I don't know, I'm hoping just to get a job anywhere in Saskatchewan working with livestock in the agriculture industry.
This being the first next-gen agriculture program, what are you expecting from it?
Honestly, I'm not too sure what to expect. I just know that it's a lot of kind of a day in the life of type thing, and having someone to look up to, ask questions, basically just having someone in my corner to help me get to where I want to be and learn everything that I can within the 18 months that I'm given.
You mentioned that you haven't been in the ag sector for very long. What's one thing that you've learned along the way?
Something that I've learned along the way that's gotten where I am today is just work for what you want. Like, working hard really gets you to where you need to be. Like, this is an industry that undoubtedly everyone is where they are because of how hard they've worked. And I think that it just really taught me a work ethic and who I am today just by looking up to all these people in the industry who work endless hours to get to where they are.
That was Chelsea Christensen, one of the 8 new mentees under the new Canadian Western Agribition NextGen Agriculture Program. It's coming up on 12:50 on GX and Agriculture. That means it's time for the commodities. They're a presentation of Ray Nordine, your REMAX Blue Chip Realty Ag Specialist.
Commodities Update.
Canola futures are trading down across the board this hour. March canola trading at $4.76.50, down $2.20. May canola trading at $4.85.20, down $2. March Minneapolis wheat trading at $5.75 1/4, that's up a half a cent. March Kansas City wheat trading at $4.76 3/4, down 4 3/4 of a cent. March Chicago wheat trading at $5.03 1/2, down 3 1/2 cents. March corn trading at $3.75 1/4, that's up a half a cent. March oats trading at $2.75 3/4, down 6 1/4 cents. And that's the commodities update. The chair of the Canadian Pork Council says free trade agreements are helping to expand international marketing opportunities for Canadian pork. Delegates attending the 2019 Manitoba Swine Seminar in Winnipeg last week were provided a Canada pork export trade update. Rick Bergman tells us how important Canada's pork exports are to the pork sector and to the Canadian economy.
We would export about 70% of what we produce, and without that, we'd have big problems. And we also recognize the GDP value, what the pork sector brings of $24 billion a year to Canada. And we recognize that we're a huge economic engine for our country in that regard.
To how many markets does Canada export pork?
Yeah, in 2018, we would have exported to 85 different countries, different volumes of product to these different countries. For sure, our neighbor to the south is our major trading partner. We send an awful lot of product down there, $1.4 billion. every year, dollars worth of pork. And on the flip side, USMCA intact, there's also a lot of pork from the U.S. coming up here to Canada, which is great. Other markets like Japan are very imperative to us. China, Mexico, these are all in the top three or four that are the ones that I've mentioned that are they're imperative for us to not only keep but also grow on.
How are new trade agreements improving access to export markets?
Well, what we see with these trade agreements is we see doors opening up, which means we sell more product into those countries, which is good. The great thing about some of these FTAs or free trade agreements, it will also reduce the tariffs that are currently in place. So with reduced tariffs, then again we find ourselves specifically in the CPTPP, where we are at an advantage over some other countries who are not part of that trade deal.
Moving forward, what are some of the targets for export growth?
Well, when we look at the countries that make up the ASEAN group, we're very intrigued to pursue that with a trade agreement. There are 11 countries there. There's 650 million people and a huge economic base for us to explore and to be part of. So we're really looking forward to that.
Given these changing world trade agreements, how is Canada's position changing globally in terms of opportunity and positioning?
Well, you know, as we know, our neighbors to the south had some significant trade challenges, trade wars over the last 12 months or so, and that's unfortunately that's hurt them. On the flip side, for us, that opens up more doors and strengthens our positions in countries where we're both trading pork into.
How is Canadian pork viewed in these export markets?
Well, again, specifically to Japan, they really appreciate the quality of a three-way cross breeding program. What's very significant to our success is the fact that we've got strong on-farm programs that give assurances with the different aspects of raising animals on our farms. And that really, again, gives us the strength in the marketplace to explore further.
How important are the quality perceptions of Canadian pork in these export destinations?
Right. So in Japan, for example, they've got a traditional food called shabu-shabu that is extremely thinly sliced pork loin that is dipped in boiling water and then consumed. And it's a delicacy and it tastes great. Now, with the diet that pork producers use here in Canada, it creates a nice, firm loin that is able to be cut very thinly. Whereas if you compare that with other countries where they might not have the grains that we use, that would be a differentiation product for sure.
Rick Bergman is the chair of the Canadian Pork Council. It's now 12:55 on GX and Agriculture.
Farm Bulletin Board.
The Steaks and Stems Producer Appreciation Night will be held in Yorkton next week. Saskatchewan Agriculture Regional Crop Specialist Lyndon Hicks says it's on Thursday, February 21st, at the St. Mary's Cultural Center.
Registration starts at 5:30. It should be a great evening. We're going to start with some entertainment. There's the Firm, a local band here, actually the winner of the 2017 Yorkton's Got Talent. So they're going to play for about an hour there. We'll have a roast beef supper. And after supper, our guest speaker this year is Dr. Georges, and he's a psychologist. And going to have a little talk, you know, about, you know, some of the stresses in life and dealing with the pressures and all that sort of thing. He's a very sought-after speaker and has a very dynamic speaking style and uses humor. So it should be a great night.
Is pre-registration necessary?
Yeah, they could phone this office here at SaskAg, 786-1531. It costs $25 per person to go. Basically, that just covers off the meal pretty much is what that's for. And that's cash or check at the door. But yeah, we ask everyone to register. So I'll give that number again. It's 786-1531.
The registration deadline is today. And the phone number, once again, 306-786-1531. And that's the Farm Bulletin Board. It's now 1 o'clock, and it's time to check the GX94 Precision Weather Forecast for the Quill Lakes, Hudson Bay, Swan River, Broadview, Mooseman, Indian Head, and Yorkton, Melville, Roblin, Russell regions today. Sunny skies, winds southeast at 7, gusting to 14, and a high of minus 18 degrees. For tonight, a few clouds, winds southeast at 10 to 20, a low of minus 26. For tomorrow, cloudy with a 20% chance of flurries south of Yorkton, 1 to 2 centimeters, winds east at 10 to 20, and a high of minus 15. For Sunday, mainly cloudy, winds north at 10 to 20, a high of minus 18. For Family Day Monday, partly sunny, a high of minus 19. And for Tuesday, partly sunny, a high of minus 13. In the Paw, it's minus 17 degrees, Swan River minus 23, Dauphin minus 21, Brandon minus 26, Show Lake Russell and Roblin minus 25. Regina is at minus 28, Saskatoon minus 30, Hudson Bay minus 22, Broadview Mooseman minus 27, Indian Head, Wynyard, Wadena, Kelvington minus 26. The Yorkton Melville region has a sunny sky, an east wind at 5 kilometers an hour. 75% is the relative humidity. The temperature is minus 26 degrees. With the wind chill, it feels more like minus 31 degrees. That's your agriculture weather, and that'll do it for GX on Agriculture for today. Be sure to tune in again on Tuesday at 12:15 for another edition of the program. It's time now for the news and sports headlines.